All right. Welcome in to episode 101 of Toilets to Titles. It is NFL Week 16, talking fantasy football, pretty much all NFL and everything related to it. It's the Christmas week, you know, so Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy Hanukkah, and whatever if you celebrate something else, cool. Tonight, I'm joined by my pal, Justin, or I should say, Scott Farkas. How you doing tonight, buddy?
Not feeling the greatest. I'm going to try to battle through this just as I'm starting to get over some sickness stuff. I had a couple of vaccines between today and yesterday, so kind of getting hammered pretty hard here with cough syrup and bottled water. So we'll see what
we'll
can
power
do.
Through.
But yeah, the Scott Farkas thing, I absolutely love. If I'm gonna get a punishment of some kind and have to take on a name, a name like Scott Farkas is definitely the kind of name you want. And for those of you that don't recognize him, I feel sorry you had a horrible, shitty childhood. Scott Farkas is the antagonist, the bad guy, the bully from A Christmas Story, one of my favorite Christmas movies of all time. And Nate, I know it's one of your favorites as well.
Hell yeah.
Definitely did not get the votes that it should have got in our draft that we did last night. So real quick, I have this brought up here. I'm going to show this to you guys. This is the draft board from last night. Y'all are very welcome to go check it out. Nate, can you see that?
Yes, I can. A little blurry, okay. But I can see it.
You guys are all welcome to go check out that episode. We just recorded it last night. If I remember, or I can remember to ask Campy to help us out, we're going to try to link that at the end of the episode here so that you guys can click on it and watch it next. But this was a fun little Christmas draft that we did last night. Somehow, this team right here is running away with the victory. Can you please explain this to me, Nate? What am I missing here that John is able to pull all these votes?
I wish I knew. Not that I didn't like his lineup, by the way. I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, no, solid lineup, but.
Well, and the reason for me that it threw me off, you know, the Hocus Pocus thing, not that that's not a good movie. I mean, it is, but I was more in the spirit of Christmas. And even to be honest, I know my dog, my wife named it after Kevin McAllister. It's her favorite movie, Home Alone and Home Alone 2. So it's my mini Aussie's name is Kevin. We've actually been to their house up in Chicago. Nice. And I've been to the house from A Christmas Story in Cleveland, Ohio. Anyways.
Nice.
I think I might like Home Alone 2 better as well, but it's a tough sell, you know, and I'm not sure how he's running away with all the votes. And The Grinch is solid. I actually watched that this afternoon before when I got home from work with my wife. So I don't know. He's got some. There's a lot of good ones, you know. Then there's some like curveballs you get there too that some people have that just make me laugh.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. When it comes to John's team, I think like personally, you know, Home Alone's going to go up there high. You know, there's a good chance that nobody may not even draft Home Alone 2. So I think he could have went bigger with that first pick and let Home Alone 2 drop to him in the second round. But honestly, maybe going bigger would have been the Grinch that he got in the second round anyway, because the Jim Carrey version of the Grinch obviously is a great one to have. He happened to get it at a decent value in the second. So I guess maybe if you flop those, it might look better. But Hocus Pocus, come on now. Like, I'm sorry. I know a lot of people, for whatever reason, seem to love it, and I didn't realize that until reading what people have to say on Twitter, but Hocus Pocus is completely bogus, in my opinion. It is not a very good movie at all.
I mean, Coco.
I've never even heard of Coco before this draft last night.
Is that Disney movie?
What's that?
That's a Disney movie, isn't it?
It is a Disney movie. Andy,
I think I've seen that.
I was giving him such a hard time about not taking Disney movies and being the resident Disney guy. Rugrats down there at the bottom. I got to admit that was a great sneaky pick. That's a nostalgic pick. Everybody watched Rugrats growing up.
That was my show growing up. Was Rugrats?
Yeah. So that was. I mean, he's got a solid team here, but I mean, come on now. I don't know. But anyhow, you guys see the rest of it. But I promised John I'd give him a little bit of props for winning the draft. We don't really have an award to give him, so maybe an attaboy and a pat on the back and a shout out here on tonight's episode. It will be hopefully good enough for him. I don't really know. We'll see what he has in store for us.
Joshua, I think you just made a comment. Like, you just comment on it. We never actually had like a Twitter poll. I don't think we did anyways. I don't know. Did you guys have
one? No, it wasn't like an official poll because there were eight teams involved. So I just threw it all up there. I threw the whole draft board up there and just told people to vote in the comments.
Yeah. I was really happy to see Mike take my favorite movie at the 101, you know, big Clark Griswold guy here. So
yeah, that one definitely, that's where it should have went, the 101.
It's got to.
And honestly, the Elf should have gone 102 and it was 103, but
very good.
It is what it is. Still top three there. Josh is saying that John wouldn't have won a Twitter poll. So I'm not really sure what the big difference is there, but it would have been hard to fit all of that in a Twitter poll too. So maybe if I break it down, I could do like two teams at a time and do like a tournament style. There we go. I will seed them based on the feedback that we got in the original post, and I'll have a tournament with it.
That is a lot of work.
Joshua, you're a genius. All right.
He's probably got a spreadsheet to get that going for you.
And Joshua also wants to tell Matt to suck it. So it looks like Frankenstank may not be going the way that Joshua is hoping, or maybe he's telling Matt to suck it because something big did happen for him. I'm not really sure, but Frankenstank, we're down to the final four in the playoffs.
Damn it, I got knocked out.
Did you officially?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's over. I'm down by 50 points, and he's got Cooper Kupp going, and I got Antonio Gibson, and I didn't stand a chance. Jamar Chase getting 0.75 points and Cordero Patterson getting 3 points really, really hurt.
Oh, and he is saying suck it because Kupp must have – yeah, he caught a touchdown that put him over the top of Matt. Wow. I would say that Joshua, Demonic Infusion, was a bit of a long shot for that game coming into it, and he surprised him. He surprised the number one seed, I do believe.
Matt's going to be so disappointed when he wakes up.
Was Matt the number one seed?
I think Joe was.
Yeah, Joe, then – okay, yeah, Matt was the three or four right on. But still, huge upset.
Yeah, Joe beat me, and I was like the nine or something. I don't know, my team – somehow I was like 10-3. I don't know how.
All right, well, we're getting
– we'll get rolling.
Rails here. So what do we got next?
Well, I'll run through all the fun stuff. You know, like I said, you can find us on Twitter. You can find myself at Nate_Dirt19. My guy Justin over here at JustinFF_. You can find, of course, Coach Sheps at Coach Sheps, who's at a Christmas recital tonight.
Yes, Christmas play.
And then our show at Toilets Titles. So check it out. If you're not following us, please give us a follow. You can listen to us as you're doing now, maybe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean. We got two pages on Facebook as well. When a Family Breaks is a sports memorabilia trading site. Coach Shep's got a ton of stuff on there. So please hit the like and subscribe button. Throw us an Apple or iTunes review if you would. We would really appreciate it. You know, we kind of like to – those are fun to read sometimes. So, and don't forget to check out our website, toiletstyles.com. I'd say it every week. I know the guys are busting their tails getting stuff put on there. Campy's doing a great job keeping it updated as well. There is a ton of stuff on there, just fantasy football, NFL videos, like I said, you name it, it's probably on there. So we gave out a little shout out for Coach and his win so far. But let's get in some news.
Real quick, you were talking about the website. Something funny happened to me today. We did a job interview for a guy, and he told me that Adam, my boss, told him ahead of time that I was going to be on the interview board. So he did a Google search of me and tracked me down and found out that I had this show. So he went on the website and surfed around, and I was like, dude, you just got bonus points. You're a step above now.
Heck yeah. I just hired this guy. I like him.
Yeah. All right. Sorry to interrupt. I thought that was funny.
No, that's good.
We have another one at 8:30 in the morning. I might start off my first question with, have you ever heard of Toilets and Titles?
And are you following us? Because I'm going to look right now to see if you were. So some news, some big news, and this would have hurt my Frankenstein team for sure because I had Chris Godwin. done for the season. Just stinks. I don't care who. I don't like seeing guys get hurt. It's kind of bums me out. So I want to see the best guys out there. Going to be tough. Get a long road ahead of him. He's a free agent as well at the end of the year. Yeah. So, I mean, he can pretty much go wherever he wants if he doesn't stay there. He is phenomenal. And I think it is going to hurt Tom Brady big time. It was pretty clear to me that he feels very comfortable with the guys he trusts. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, obviously Gronk, and then Fournette. And when it's Tyler Johnson, Scotty Miller, Jalen Darden, it's tough. So they'll probably be okay, but going to hurt a little bit. First five Pro Bowl selections were revealed. I forgot about that, actually. I saw it.
Yeah.
And look who it is. JT, the man, Jonathan Taylor.
Right.
Of course, he gets my number two MVP vote right now. Dude's just phenomenal. What do you have, 29 carries last week for 170 yards or something?
Yeah, so, not enough, but yeah, incredible.
Yeah, obviously.
More.
Yeah, just every time. Tom Brady, of course. Cooper Kupp, which I think it's his first Pro Bowl selection, which is
– That's insane.
It's kind of weird to me. Except he's just an awesome dude. Aaron Donald, of course, and Travis Kelce, who actually I think last week he doesn't seem like his season this year has been nearly as dominant in years past, but granted, the Chiefs haven't been as high-flying as normal, so I'm sure he'll be fine.
Until this week. He went off this week, but yeah.
Yeah.
The voting was probably pretty well in before that. So yeah. who's your number one for MVP?
Aaron Rodgers. I'm trying not to be biased, but I'm sorry.
It's fair. He's having a great season for the team that he has around him and the situation that they went through in the offseason. And I mean, yeah, it's very fair.
I mean, he leads the league, you know, quarterback wise in pretty much every stat, I think, you know, and with a game missed. He's got a broken toe still. He is able to cover up our, I guess, the stuff that's just not as good, you know, from time to time. So,
yeah, and as incredible of a season as Jonathan Taylor's having, we don't know that he would be leading everything in the rushing category if Henry never got hurt, because he probably wouldn't be, you know?
Yeah, yeah, which is, I mean, it took 2 or 3 weeks after Henry was hurt for him to pass him, you know, which, I mean, but it's a different offense, you know, so.
Right.
And that's no slight against Taylor. I love Jonathan Taylor, so.
Right.
It's fun to see. Daniel Jones, done for the season. Sorry, Joe. I guess the Giants are considering Jake Fromm to start based on how things go this week. Skycam Mike Glennon looked really bad last week. Three interceptions, I think. I don't know how – I was talking to Joe about this a couple weeks ago. How the Giants – like, who decided, like, hey, let's sign Mike Glennon? Like, how does Gardner Minshew get traded for, like, a six-round pick? You know, and I don't know. To me, it's wild. But –
yeah,
we'll see how Jake Fromm State Farm does. So I don't have very high hopes for him. Some COVID news. It seems like all of a sudden I was texting a friend today that it's just I don't know what has happened differently the last couple weeks than all season. The Chiefs got hit really hard. Tyreek Hill, Charvarius Ward, Harrison Butker. I saw somebody else. There's a ton of guys. There's way more than that. Those are just the kind of three big ones that I saw.
Yeah.
And then I also saw today that Marquez Valdez-Scantling landed on the COVID list, which is probably won't play Saturday. I was texting a friend of mine's Packers fan. It's like, I just hope that it's just one.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say. How many times have we seen that this season where like, oh, Tyreek Hill tests positive or whatever, and then one day later, the entire wide receiving core, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and it was really hit or miss too this year. It seemed like it might be one or two guys, you know, on the team, or maybe five total or whatever, you know, a couple coaches here and there. And now it's like 17 guys, you know, and so I don't know. I know Aaron Rodgers and Devontae are good till after the Super Bowl because they both had it. So we got that going for us. But yeah, one of my leagues that I'm going to move on in the playoffs, I have Tyreek Hill. So that is a bummer. Going to be tough to get the championship without him. So we'll see the Chiefs, I think, will struggle mightily without Tyreek Hill. And Harrison Butker's a huge one. I know you're a big kicker guy. He is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, he's amazing. Just a huge leg.
So, the only downside to him for fantasy purposes is that they score a lot of touchdowns. So he gets extra points instead of field goals. But when they do need to rely on him, he's money.
Yeah. I mean, he 60 yarders, no problem. Probably 65 really. I mean, he's up there with Tucker, in my opinion. Not as good or whatever, but you know, leg strength, I think. So
right.
Any other news you got that you saw
No, I didn't really see anything else that really stood out that I would want to spend a lot of time on, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/toilets of titles. We have a Discord that we're all in, talking all the time, trades, everything like that. It's $3 a month for that tier. I'll get you into that group chat with us. And I believe that Patreon members are getting free entries into our playoff league. You know, I think I said it last week, like pay $3, you get a free $10 entry.
Right.
You're the math teacher. I think that checks out, right?
That's good,
right?
Yeah. And absolutely does. And on top of that, like, we also did in that the draft that we did yesterday, the Patreon supporter that got the most votes was going to win a second free entry into the tournament. And it looks to me like Uncle Steve was the only Patreon supporter that was in that draft. So I guess he wins by default. So Steve is our number one Patreon for the draft, and he'll have two entries into the tournament where everybody else will only have one. So there are some small little perks, some nice little things that we provide for the Patreons here and there. And this offseason, we're going to really look to add quite a bit more.
Yep. And I know we just got some more t-shirts ordered, I believe. You know, for those guys, well, not for everybody, or, you know, everybody too, but tier two, $5 a month, gets you early access to the waiver wire episodes that Justin did all season. And then I helped with towards the end, which were a ton of fun. Get an entry into the Frankenstein Listener League that we talked about earlier. Same with the group chat. And then tier three is $10 a month. Gets you one-on-one roster analysis with anybody from the crew team. You get a free entry into Frankenstein and then the waiver wire and the group chat, like we said. So now
I was going to give you a little bit of a Brooklyn accent with that raster, but I don't know that my voice can handle it.
No, hey, don't strain yourself. We got a little more talking to do yet. So we'll move on to the games of the week. As you saw earlier, old Scott really Farkas over here. Hey, I got this. I think I've won two in a row, so it's kind of like I don't know how it's been going in my favor lately, but yeah, I mean, I'll take it. So I had the best margin last week at 5 points. I picked the Bengals at the Broncos. It's 15-10, so 5 points. Coach, Chiefs at Chargers, 34-28, so 6 points. And Justin had the Patriots at the Colts, which was a 10-point. And I think the last 2 weeks, though, also, we've been all relatively close where it's not, you know, one guy has a 30-point differential.
Right. So, not like it was at the start of the season.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a tight race down to the end. I think we're separated by 7 points. So I don't know what we win. I guess bragging rights. So
that's good enough for me.
Yeah, that's all I want. So I'll go coach's game first, and then I don't care who goes next. So coach has the Niners at the Titans Thursday night football. I think that will be a good one. I don't know. After the Titans lost last week, they went from being able to take the number one seed in the AFC to, I mean, I don't know how you lose that game. I know they're not what they were, and I've kind of been saying it for a while. They're kind of toast without Derrick Henry. I know AJ Brown, I think, got designated to come back off the IR, so that'll be big if he does come back. But I think it's too little, too late. I think they need Henry. So, but I think that game should be pretty decent.
Yeah, absolutely. As a Colts fan, obviously, I hope that Tennessee can somehow find a way to lose that game. It really depends on which 49ers team shows up, to be honest with you. They're kind of hit or miss. You never really know. Kind of like the Vikings. But one thing I will say about the Vikings is that their games typically are always really close. And the Rams have not been the same since Robert Woods went down, in my opinion. I don't think they've played nearly as dynamic football as they had with Woods in there. He totally changes the whole scheme of that offense. So I have the Rams at the Vikings as my game of the week, 1 o'clock game on Sunday. Just really hoping that's a good close game, but also I will be playing for the Shit Bowl Championship in my home league. If I would have lost tonight, luckily Cooper Kupp got me enough points to beat Uncle Steve. So now Uncle Steve gets to face my brother-in-law for the loser of that game next week has to wear a dress to the draft the following year. So that'll be fun. Since I won, I do not have to worry about that anymore, and I get to play next week to win the Shit Bowl title, which, I mean, at least it's some kind of title, I guess, but it doesn't pay out anything. But it is what it is. But I have Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, and Kirk Cousins in that league. So a lot of reasons for me to choose this game as my game of the week.
Yeah, that's a good one for sure. I don't understand. They got to fire Zimmer, right, after this year? I mean, at the end of the day, if you keep losing these close games, you can't keep blaming on the players. Especially Kirk Cousins has played very well. And Justin Jefferson, they've played very well. And they just can't win a close game.
You would think so, but I was kind of surprised that Zimmer was still around like this season. So,
yeah, whatever. I'm going Bills and Patriots, not necessarily because last time they played it was close and a wild game, but the Patriots just lost. Bills have won the last two games. No, just last one. Anyways, I'm curious to see how the Patriots respond after getting beat by the Colts. I still think they're probably the number two, but one of the top three teams in the AFC. I think the Bills are kind of toast. They can't stop the run, and they can't run the football. So it should be a close game if Josh Allen can keep them in it, but I think it'll be fun. So we'll see what happens. That's also 1 o'clock on Sunday. So I like all these games we get to watch. Tuesday night football, and then Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's great.
So Chris's videos comments all a lot on the Blitz as well. We've been seeing a lot of him here lately. Kind of so you kind of get to know guys. So I'm kind of concerned now. I see that you burnt yourself on your oven today. So
it's like a Michael Scott, like George Foreman grill kind of oven thing, or like an actual oven.
Did you get some nice holiday oven mitts from the lady in the office for Christmas?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Phyllis.
Phyllis, yeah. Did Phyllis get you some nice oven mitts?
Man. That's awesome. I hope you're okay, Chris.
Dallas Goedert is being a butthole to him. Man, you're
it's
having
because Jalen Hurts can't throw the football.
You're having a rough day, Chris. Yeah, I mean, Hurts, I guess he's actually picked it up since we went on. He has another touchdown. I'm a one seed in a charity league that our friend of the show, George Reed, does to try to win a Kenny Golladay autographed jersey. And I was the one seed going against the eight, and it looks like I'm going to lose because Jalen is having a pretty decent game fantasy wise. So I'm down by one. He has Jalen Hurts and Rashad Penny still left, and all I have is Darrell Henderson.
Penny's out.
So, okay. Well, I still need Darrell Henderson to score a touchdown.
Yeah. Well, how do the Rams, whatever. Yeah. I'm done with Rams.
That's what I'm saying. Without Robert Woods,
he's phenomenal. Ooh. Yeah. Bobby Trees keeps that team going.
Way underrated.
Yeah. I don't know what game it was, but Troy Aikman said, like, oh, yeah, Robert Woods, the top three receiver in the league. I was like, okay, now, hey, pump the brake, buddy. That's a little – oh, we were talking about it. But anyways, we'll move on. Locks of the week with myself. Last week, well, I'm still waiting on the Rams, but I was 3-1 up till now. So I did miss on the Cardinals. -13.5 at the Lions. I don't know. The Cardinals, like, is it going to be like last year when they just start falling off a cliff towards the end of the year? Kyler's not running the ball either, which is worrisome to me. I wonder how much that
injury is still lingering, you know?
But I don't know if it's necessarily him or if it's just, you know, instead of taking off, he's staying in there, you know, to throw the ball, which, whatever. But I mean, I think he was averaging like over 6 yards a carry last year, and now he's got like 3.
Right.
So I don't know. I just – and they can't stop the run either. So I think they are in for a world of hurt with Jonathan Taylor this week.
Right.
A little foreshadowing.
Yeah, I hope so.
They got beat by the Lions. I don't – good for Dan Campbell. I'm pumped for him. You know, they got 2 wins now.
Oh, yeah. That's exciting. They're no longer have the 101, so yeah. They can't even lose correctly, but whatever. I'm excited.
Me too. Zara's right. Cowboys -10.5 the Giants. They beat them 21-6. That defense looked really good. Granted, it's the Giants. Offense, they had a good game from Tony Pollard and Zeke, but that was about it. So, San Fran -9.5. Against the Falcons. They looked really good against the Falcons. Their defense played really well. Like I said, Cordarrelle Patterson didn't really do anything. But we'll see going going forward what they are. And then I was right, Bengals plus 1.5 at the Broncos. I was very nervous in that game when they were driving. And then that, like, Drew Lock just handed the ball off to the defensive tackle. So that was cool, you know, to keep me in there. So, yeah, we're still waiting, though, on the Rams, minus 4. Yeah, it's 10. They stink, dude. I can't watch it. So, moving on. This week, I like the Colts plus 1.5 going to Phoenix to play the Cardinals. Like I said, their run defense is very poor. Jonathan Taylor should have a field day. 35 carries for 220 yards. Nice. Maybe not that many, but that'd be cool.
18 touchdowns.
I don't know what's going on with the Cardinals. They look – something's wrong, it seems like. And without DeAndre Hopkins, that is a huge loss for them. You could tell last week. I think that Colts defense is going to give them fits. Like I said, I think the Colts might be the best team in the AFC, to be honest with you. So, their defense is phenomenal, every aspect of it. So, it'll be a good game. But Colts are getting points. I like it. The Cardinals, well, prior to this losing streak they're on, they're like 3 losses all year were at home. So, they play better on the road. Chargers minus 9.5 at the Texans. Chargers looked like the better team against the Chiefs, in my opinion. Kick the field goal. Mr. Staley, stop. I understand you want to score points, but it's the first drive. Get 3 points. I get it if it's the end of the game. But anyways, I think they'll take care of the Texans very easily. 9.5 is plenty. Like Patriots minus 1.5 against the Bills. I still think the Patriots are very, very good. I think the Bills are not as good, and they will struggle without Tre'Davious White. I thought Mac Jones looked phenomenal. I know made some mistakes here and there, but I just, you know, they were down what, 17-0, right? And he still was able to cut, you know.
Well, we'll talk about that in the Slow Your Roll later on as well. But yeah, that's pretty much what happened. 17-0, and then Frank Reich tried to be Frank Reich, and then he pretty much let the Patriots at least have a shot and make all the Colts fans pull their hair out for a little while in the third.
I did the same thing with the game against the Raiders or Ravens. So my heart was about to blow up. I thought I had a stroke, I thought, at the end of the game. So anyways, moving on. Bengals minus 2.5 against the Ravens. I think the Bengals will play better than the Packers did against the Ravens. I don't know if Lamar's back or not, but the Ravens defense is just destroyed. I just think the Bengals are too good. I know last week was kind of an odd showing, but that Broncos defense is very, very, very good. A lot better than the Ravens. So I think the Bengals should take it to them. You know, they can, I don't know if they win this game, if they'll take control of the AFC North, but it'll help. My last one, Broncos plus 1.5 at the Raiders. I'm sorry, Rich. You guys barely squeaked by against the Browns with, I don't know who played. Oh, Nick Mullins played quarterback.
So the Bengals are currently tied with the Ravens right now at 8-6.
Okay, I thought that was something like that. So, I just think that the Broncos defense is too good. And with Drew Lock back there, I think he gives him a little bit more spice. Almost, he likes to throw the ball all over the place. So, I'm nervous to start Tim Patrick over Tyreek Hill in the league, but I think I'm going to do it because Tyreek's out. So. Yeah, I like the Broncos getting 1.5. Sorry, Rich. Yeah. Don't be mad.
And also, we know that if the Ravens do come down to a tie in their record at the end of the season, Harbaugh's just going to go for 2 and lose it. So,
yeah, but stop doing that. I don't understand.
So I watched this little video clip today. It was like a 3-minute video clip that the Ravens actually posted on their fan site or something, on their Twitter or something themselves, to try to like justify Harbaugh going for it. And really, if you really watch it, what he's doing is he's telling his guys, he's like, hey, listen, we got 2 choices here. If we score a touchdown here, we can kick the extra point. We're looking good for overtime. And then he's like, or we can try to go for it, try to go for the win now, but we're looking good for overtime. You can tell he's trying to tell them we're looking good. And then they're like, yeah, well, let's go for it. And they didn't sound confident. They're like, yeah, let's go for it. And he's like, you want to go for it? Okay, let's go for it. Like, he wasn't confident. They weren't confident. You're looking good for overtime. Why not go ahead and kick for overtime and play it out?
As bad as the Packers defense looked at the end of that game, Tyler Huntley was driving on them with no problem. So go to overtime. I mean, granted, Aaron Rodgers had 40 some seconds to get in the field goal range with Mason Crosby, who I trust about as much as a fart after Taco Tuesday. Right. But
Your players are always going to say go for two. Yeah. Don't listen to your players.
No, and how do you still have a job? You just like, I feel like back in the day, people just kept doing that. Like, oh, I'm going for two, going for two, going on fourth down, going for on fourth down, and not getting it. See ya.
But, yeah, Chris, that's tough breaks right there, Chris. He started Tom Brady, Mike Evans, Gallup, Kamara, Patterson, Gronk, Knox, Gold, and Cardinals D. As far I saw something else up here too, Chris. Please let me know for sure who it was. You said that you started Dak over Russ, like you all said, and DK over Brandon Cooks. I know I was pretty high on Brandon Cooks. I said a lot of really good things about Brandon Cooks on the Blitz this Sunday. So I think that's probably pretty close to a line there that I have between DK and Cooks. So maybe I did say DK, but if I'm wrong, please let me know if it was the other two guys that talked you into it and I was actually still right. I know I was high on Brandon Cooks. He did have two touchdowns, and there's not a lot of guys I would have benched him for this week, but DK may have been one. But at this point, you're starting DK on name alone, and that's not a good idea. Yeah. That's not a good thing to do.
No, it's getting hot in the kitchen in Seattle. It's tough. So let's move on. Dudes and duds. Coach graced us with leaving these nice notes for us, so I will go and roll on through them. His dudes of the week for the quarterback, Matty Stafford at Minnesota. COVID hit the Rams hard over the last 2 weeks, but after tonight, the team should be back ready to rock and roll by week 16. The Rams play the Vikings, who are allowing the third most fantasy points to opposing QBs this season. I hope you're right, I guess. I guess the Rams make me so nervous. They just scored again, so it's 17-10 now, but I don't know what we'll get. But yeah, I think he should be able to throw all over the place. So, oh, and then here we go. Drew Lock at the Raiders. Broncos offense has been ground heavy, but with the injury to Teddy Two Gloves and the sudden switch to Drew Lock, I expect the passing attack to emerge in week 16. Sutton, Judy, Patrick, and Font will finally emerge. Too little too late, without a doubt. But also know if either of these guys helps you advance to the championship. So,
yeah, that Raiders defense is so god awful.
Oh my god. Like,
how do you let a team that has like three or four offensive starters even available for the game like nearly beat you? That doesn't even make sense. And I get, yeah, they held them to two touchdowns, whatever, but
they do have Nick Chubb though. He's worth like, I mean, come on.
I guess.
I don't know. That defense is really bad.
I was really expecting like some turnovers. So like they didn't. No. I don't know that they even had a sack. I watched the whole game. I don't think they even had a single sack on Nick Mullen with only like one or two of his offensive linemen available. Like it was horrible. Like how do you not get pressure on Nick Mullen and dominate that game? I don't care how good Chubb is. Play seven or eight in the box. Nick Mullen shouldn't be able to beat you.
Well, if Kevin Stefanski can make Baker Mayfield look decent,
but he can't.
Nick Richard and Nick Mullins can look decent.
He only does that every once in a while.
Yeah, true. I know that defense is not good. Sorry, Rich. Rich is going to be mad. We're bashing on the Raiders tonight.
Yeah, well, they deserve it. Yeah. Rich doesn't deserve it. We love you, Rich, but your Raiders deserve it.
running back James Robinson at the Jets when Urban Meyer is away. I'm not going to make any jokes. We'll just move on. James Robinson will play week 15, 18 carries for 75 yards and a touchdown. This week, Robinson faces the Jets defense that's allowing 30 PPR points a week to opposing running backs. It smells like points. Nope.
Stop. Go on.
Running back core, Darrell Patterson against Detroit. Patterson was the gift that kept on giving to those fantasy managers lucky enough to pick up share this season. Patterson helped you get to the playoffs, and now he'll carry you to the ship. The only team allowing more points to opposing running backs than the Lions are the Jets. Also, smells like points. Yeah, thanks, Patterson. Except last week, make me not go any farther because jerk. Wide receiver, Deebo Samuel. Another guy on my Frankenstein team. Like I said, my receivers were very good. Didn't help this week against the Titans. Titans are pretty strong against the run. And to add to that, Elijah Mitchell may be coming back into the picture. I think that equates to less touches on the ground for Deebo, but more action through the air. I expect big numbers against a poor Titans secondary. I think so. Deebo's good. Fun to watch. Terry McLaurin at the Cowboys. Terry threw up a fat zero against Dallas in week 14. That being said, I remember him hitting us for a total of 180 yards in 2020. He's a competitor and is also an elite wide receiver. He will not go quietly. I expect a major bounce back performance. Do we know who's going to play quarterback for the Washington football team? Is it Heinicke? Is it Kyle Allen? Is it?
I'm not completely positive on the Heinicke situation. I don't know if he actually tested positive, like if he actually has it, like, or if he's asymptomatic and just tested positive, or if he's been vaccinated and we're just waiting on two negative results. Like, I don't really know the situation there because they're kind of being hush hush about it. I'm sure somebody might know, but I don't know. So yeah, there's a lot of question marks there with that one for sure.
Well, and they did pick up, I believe, old Jordan Ta'amu, the former St. Louis Battlehawk, then Kansas City Chief back up. Anyways, he was awesome in the XFL, and so was Taylor Heinicke. They were teammates.
I mean, Terry McLaurin actually was having a decent first half. I haven't been able to watch it since we started, but McLaurin started off pretty strong his first half, even with whoever that dude is that's throwing to him right now.
Kyle Shermer, Pat Shermer. Pat Shermer is the dad. Kyle Shermer, I think, is the kid.
Kyle, yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Or no, did they start that Gilbert kid that was in Dallas?
Yes, it was Gilbert. Year? Gilbert's who started.
Gary Gilbert? I don't know his name. That's what I'm calling him.
It's not Gary, but he came from Dallas. You and your names.
That came to my mind. I don't know why. All I think of is that what's eating Gilbert grape. Anyways, tight end, Noah Fant at the Raiders. Over the last three games, Fant's had 13 receptions on 14 targets. He's primed for a breakout, and I believe it comes this week against the Raiders defense. It's allowing 16 points per week to opposing tight ends. Yeah, I think it'll work. And a guy that Justin might talk about later as well.
Yep.
Duds. Another Raider. Derek Carr against Denver. Carr struggled in week 15 against a tough but banged up Browns defense. This week he faces an even more stout Broncos defense. I believe this will be the fourth week in a row that Carr fails to top five fantasy points. To top five. To be in the top five or to get 5 points total? I don't know. That looks like he says fails to top five fantasy points.
Yeah, so, I think that's what he means.
Okay.
Fourth week in a row. Let me double check on that.
Yeah.
I don't have Derek Carr anywhere, so I wouldn't know for sure. So no. Let me check and see real quick. Again, not bashing you, Rich, but
yeah. Another quarterback, Josh Allen at the Patriots. Last time Josh faced New England, he went 15-30 in the wind snow bowl. This week he faced that same defense and a 40% chance of snow. I've seen this move before. Count me out.
Yeah, I don't know. He's scored more than 5 points. Like, now, maybe he meant 15 because he scored 12.36, 12.52, 12.14, and that's in leagues that have 6 point touchdown passes. So
he needs to throw to Renfro more. I got Renfro shares. Just throw him the ball.
Yeah. So all right. Whatever. I don't really own hardly any Raiders anywhere, so whatever.
I got Renfro on the waivers in like two or three redraft leagues, so I don't really care. Yeah, I was close, Garrett. Gary.
Yeah.
Come on.
You were incredibly close. I mean, they could call him Gary for short.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. That's it. That's what I'm calling him. And I'll probably never start again, but if he does, I'm ready. Running backs, Antonio Gibson at Dallas. 2 weeks ago, when Gibson faced the Cowboys, he was held to 10 for 36 yards. I think the Cowboys go up early in this one, and the game script dictates minimal opportunities for AG. Gosh darn it. I need to start him. Don't do that. Cardinals running backs versus the Colts. And week 15, James Conner finished with 8 for 39, and Chase Edmonds had 6 for 53. I think we'll see another even split this week. I don't expect either to put up decent numbers against Darius Leonard, D-Buck, and the rest of the Colts defense. I mean, last week is tough with the Cardinals running backs. When you're down like that, that game script makes it very hard, to stick to the game plan. So take it with a grain of salt. But I agree, against Colts, tough sledding. Mike Evans at Carolina. Evans dealing with a hamstring injury now, and he'll be dealing with added attention from the defense because Chris Godwin and Fournette were removed from the lineup. Wait, is Fournette out for more than – I don't even know how bad his injury
was. Yeah, they said it could be a couple more weeks at least.
Oh yeah, they just signed Lev Bell.
Yeah, that's something that I meant to put on the news report earlier. So, yeah, Le'Veon Bell to the Bucks to help stop some of the injury issues there. probably just a warm body for now. But I mean, if this
Rojo injury, time.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. Coach is avoiding Mike Evans where he can. DK Metcalf versus Chicago. 2021 fantasy football disappointments. DK tops that list without a doubt. I have zero faith that he will produce, and this is another play I'm absolutely avoiding where I can. Bears stink, but doesn't matter. I can't. This week for the championship, not a chance. Tight end Travis Kelce against Pittsburgh. Minka and Co. are going to throw the clamps on Kelce this week. He likes the Steelers in an upset here. Call this one the gut feeling of the week. Like I said, with no Tyreek, some key dudes missing. Going to be a tough game. Turtleheads, let's do it.
Oh, yeah, Turtleheads. So, yeah, appreciate you rifling through all that for me.
Sure.
But I do have some Turtleheads for you, so I'll talk a little bit and try to struggle through it. But at this point in the season, for most of your Turtleheads, you're primarily looking into next season. And I know one position that hit me hard this season was the tight end position. So I'm going to be looking ahead at the tight end position. And I chose Albert O, and John was supposed to be here to pronounce that for me. I'm sure you got some kind of crazy funny name that you use for him. What do you got?
I call him Albert O, but I think it's like Oak. What is it? Okwu. I can't say anymore. Okwu Bonham or something like that. I don't know. I should know. He's a Mizzou Tiger, but I just call him Albert O.
I can't even say it whenever I have a good voice. I just call him Big Al. So
Okwu Bonham or something like that. That's got to be close. Feels close.
Yeah, so Big Al, this is his second year in the league. Now, we all know, traditionally speaking, that tight ends take a few years to develop their skills in the NFL. You may have to pay up just a little bit to get him at this point because he finally started to come on a little bit in this offense lately. But there are some selling points that you can try. For one, you can try to tell the other owner, if you're trying to trade to get him, that Noah Fant still has 3 years left on his $12.5 million contract he signed earlier this offseason. And Big Al still has two more years left on his rookie deal. So they're going to be splitting a lot of time, splitting a lot of opportunities. So he kind of has that going against him. you don't pay a tight end $12.5 million over 3 years to sit on the bench. And Noah Fant is a talented tight end in his own right. Meanwhile, you kind of already know that there's a pretty good chance that two tight ends can still be very productive for fantasy football purposes. It doesn't happen often, but we've seen it. Point number two, try to remind the guy, hey, they've got Teddy Bridgewater throwing to him. Hopefully they're not in depth, really deep, and they don't really consider the fact that Aaron Rodgers is going to be their quarterback next season or anything like that, or even Sam Darnold for that matter. Who knows?
But, oh, God.
they've got Teddy B for now. So, and with the Broncos, you never know what Elway's going to do. I mean, who knows? Maybe Sam Darnold is going to go out there and try to be his next savior that's going to submarine the team. So you can always use that as an argument as well. You can also use the fact that with the emergence of Javonte Williams, that 1-2 punch at running back between him and Melvin Gordon, it's going to be a run-heavy offense week in and week out moving forward. And it doesn't look like that's going to change anytime soon. So, again, that a lot of times that bodes well for tight ends as well because they need those extra blockers in there. And if they're in the game, then they're in the game during audibles. They're in the game to make it look like it's going to be a run. So they're in there for play action. And they're in there for those Teddy Bs that can't really throw the ball accurately down the field and they need to dump it off. So so in reality, we all know that Albert O is going to be the tight end to own in Denver, even though I'm not necessarily against owning Noah Fant as well, because I think they're both going to be pretty incredible for the future. I did have an honorable mention this week. and that's TJ Hockenson. I really kind of like to get him as cheap as you're ever going to get him at this point for a lot of the same reasons. Like Teddy B and Goff are not long-term answers for their current teams, and they may not even be the answer at starter as soon as next season. So the talent of a player like TJ Hockenson is going to rise to the top. And I have a strong feeling that this draft this upcoming draft. I kind of predict that they're going to go early and often with the offensive line. Dan Campbell seems like the type of coach that wants to win in the trenches. And you've got to know that you've got to win in the trenches. And that offensive line is so bad that Hockenson is sometimes he's not even running 10 routes in a game, much less getting that many targets. So because he's always snugged up on that line to try to provide some blocking. So if they're able to go out and pick up some offensive linemen in the offseason or draft a few early, like I'm kind of anticipating they will, then I think you can see a lot more routes ran by Hockenson next season. And after that, you're not going to be able to get Hock for cheap because his talent is just too much.
I like it. I like Gardner Minshew to Denver, by the way. That's why I want to go there. He'll get that ship off the bottom of the ocean. And I said Sam Darnold can't sink it any lower than it already is. So slow to roll.
I'm already on Minshew, so I'll let you have your moment here.
Slow to roll, we're all in. Coach is in on me, Colt Hardman. If Reek's out and you've been rostering Hardman, your payout is coming. Personally, he's lost Ridley, Elijah Moore, and Chris Godwin on one of his playoff rosters, and he'll be leaning on Hardman this week if Reek sits with the vid. I hope he doesn't. You want to go or you want me to go?
Very good chance. I'll go next to give you a little break here, but slow your roll. I'm going to slow my roll on my very own head coach, Frank Reich. Frank tried to piss away another big second half lead this week against the Patriots. Jonathan Taylor touched the ball three times in the third quarter and didn't start feeding him again in the fourth quarter until the Pats started to make their comeback and make it a game again. It's like this nearly every week. And I get that there's sometimes that there's something to be said about, like, you want to save your stud running back for the playoffs. Sure, yeah, I totally get that. But if that's the case, at least run the ball with Nyheim Hines. Run the damn ball with him. I don't care. He's proven to be a good, reliable running back in his own right. So if you really need to sit Jonathan Taylor, that's fine. Don't let Carson Wentz throw the game away. That's exactly what happens when the defense knows that they've switched that mode and they're going to start throwing the ball more. Wentz doesn't know how to handle a lead. He doesn't know how to handle playing from behind. He doesn't know how to handle a football. So quit relying on Carson Wentz, especially when you have the lead. Bench our star. Throw Hines in there and then run the damn ball. And if they start to make the comeback that way, at least you've worked the clock down. You gave him the quarter off, and you can run him back out in the fourth quarter if you need to. I would much rather do it that way than to risk interceptions, risk three and outs, and quick turnover where your defense is on the field that entire third quarter, because then they're too tired in the fourth. That's how that happens. That's why the third quarter is so much more important to run the damn ball. Work that clock out. Let your defense get some rest. Let them be ready for the fourth quarter. All right, I'm off my soapbox. Nate, speaking of boxes, you got a box of macaroni you want to talk about, right?
Yeah, man, I'm all in. I think I said I signed with the Patriots earlier. Maybe I talked about Mac Jones already. I don't care. I'll say it again. I love Macaroni Jones. I'm all in. I wish I drafted more of him. I have a few shares, which I'm happy about. But they came up short against the Colts Saturday, and it was a blowout early. But I like that Mac showed the poise and composure to lead his team back, even though Frank may have something to do with that. But I still think that he looked very, very good. Accurate with the throw. He stood in the pocket to make him, you know, with the defensive front of the Colts. It's tough to just hang out there and wait, you know what I mean? So I think he looked really good, and just plays so well. Looks really good in the offense. You know, he made some mistakes, but all quarterbacks do, you know. Where's Trey Lance at right now, by the way? Anybody heard of him? Yeah. That's what we thought.
And honestly, obviously, you know I hate the Patriots, but it is so hard to hate Mac Jones, man. I actually really kind of like the guy, and I know he's going to be a good quarterback. And I said all throughout the offseason that I felt like he was going to be a Eli Manning-type quarterback where he's going to be in the league for a long time because he's smart. He uses his head. He knows how to play the game. Like you said, poised and composed. And and he's probably not going to lose you games like a lot of quarterbacks will, which was another reason why Eli was able to keep his job for so long. And at the end of the day, maybe he has a Super Bowl or two under his belt. But honestly, I don't think I gave him enough credit in the offseason. Like I felt long-term, he was probably a better quarterback than most. I didn't think short term that he was going to be this successful. So that makes me think that long term, he's probably going to be a lot better than I was initially giving him credit for.
Yeah, I had, you know, before the draft, I thought he was going to San Francisco without a doubt. I thought he was the kind of guy that Shanahan wanted. And I think he probably was. A lot of the rumblings I've heard is that Lynch and I just forgot their guy, you know, they wanted Trey Lance. And they let let the media talk them out of Mac Jones to get Trey Lance. And we don't know. We'll see what Trey Lance is. But Mac Jones is phenomenal, man. He said,
that wouldn't have mattered, though. If he would have went to San Francisco, then he'd be sitting behind Jimmy Garoppolo for some reason. Yeah. Like, you say, where's Trey Lance? He's being held down by his coaching staff. That's where he's at.
Yeah, and I mean, and Jimmy Garoppolo has looked good. You know, as of late, I think has played pretty well. But you haven't even heard anybody talk about Trey Lance, like how he's looking in practice, this or that, like he's even getting any reps. I mean, for a little while, earlier in the year, they were throwing him in there kind of here and there. When you're throwing at 95 miles an hour, every throw, regardless of if they're five yards or 50 yards away, I mean, you know, like I said, he's got time to learn. I'm not saying he can't, but I mean, Mac Jones had the best situation as a rookie quarterback. You know, Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels, you know, that'd be much better than that.
And then he can hope that Belichick retires before he gets tired of playing for him, like most players do.
Yeah.
But,
I don't care.
But then the thing that I don't like about the Shanahan situation, though, is like with Ayuk and Kittle, you know, Samuel, Debo, and an offensive line that can make any running back look like a stud running back in any given night. Like, it's like, yeah, sure, Jimmy G's playing pretty well this year. Obviously, he should. Like, I really wish that we were given more opportunity with Trey Lance just to see what he has. And I'm the guy that was very low on Trey Lance to start the season. If we go back and look at our rankings, I had him way low because I didn't think he played enough football to justify the high draft pick. But at the same time, I'm not a Jimmy G guy. So I at least want to see it, you know, but you know, they're playing decent. They're playing all right. So I guess I can't fault Shanahan for it.
I think Shanahan, you know, does well with what he has. You know, he has the right, you know, what up, Rich? He just got here. Good. He missed all the Raiders slander.
He's going to go back and watch and let us have it in the chat, I'm sure.
But, you know, Shanahan's very good at, you know, using the right scheme and, you know, fitting the players to the scheme, not just trying to put a round peg in a square hole. I mean, I think that is why he does well. It's like last year when Baker looked decent, you know, with all the play action and was able to, you know, they have a very good run blocking team. And so when they're running, you know, the RPOs and stuff like that makes him look better. You know, I think that has helped Garoppolo a ton this year. So I don't think he's going to get paid. I hope he might somewhere and I feel bad for him, but I don't know. I'm curious to see when we'll see Trey Lance, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, one thing's for sure, we won't see him this week. So that means we're not going to be talking about him next week. But one thing that we will be talking about, or at least that John's going to be talking about, because he's already been talking about it this week, and we know John, when he latches on to something, he will not let go.
Yeah.
He's going to talk this. He's going to speak this into existence like Mike Parsons going to the Cowboys. He has said Byron Leftwich to Jacksonville as the head coach. And he was saying that. He was putting that in the message board and on Twitter before I ever even saw it come up on the ticker during that game the other night. So so I have a feeling that they even only put that up there because Coach Sheps put it on his Twitter handle. So he's speaking into existence that next week we're going to be talking about how Byron Leftwich needs to go back home to Jacksonville and be the head coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Nate, what do you think we're going to be talking about next week?
Warren Moon's going to go coach the Seahawks. Anyways,
that's not in the
why
show.
Not? Why not? You know? How does Maurice Drayton still have a job? I don't know how he's kept his job this long. This is the Packers special teams coordinator. If you have watched any of, we have the worst special teams I've ever seen in football. And I'm not just saying Mason Crosby missing kicks. Every aspect of special teams is so – literally every time we come out to punt. I mean, and Bohorquez has a cannon for a leg, but they can't block. And when we kick – when he punts, they run in a straight line. You don't want to do that. You need to run like this. So, you know, Jakeem Grant, 95-yard touchdown.
Like what? How was that again?
Not straight. Like
–
me across the whole field. That's it's hard to show this, you know. But you know, the average starting position on kickoffs is ridiculous. It's going to cost us, you know, I hope we get the Super Bowl. It's going to cost Super Bowl. Maybe we might not even make it there because the special teams is so bad. I don't know how he stole his job. You got to fire him. Get rid of the guy. He's a dipshit. It's way overdue.
Well, speaking of firing coaches, I have down that my next week, we're going to be talking about there goes another coach. And my thinking here is I'm looking at guys like Judge that's playing at Philly, Nagy that's at Seattle, and Art Smith versus the Lions. Like, these are all games that they should be competitive in, at least, especially since the Seahawks are down. If you add that to the fact that the whole rest of their season has been a pretty bad season by their team standards, and it's just really, really rough football being played. I mean, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that necessarily that all of these coaches are going to be getting fired this week, or even just one of them after this week. But we're going to begin those talks, because I know that clearly these fan bases are already talking about firing these coaches nationally. But with this being Christmas this week, 'tis the season to fire head coaches in the NFL. Luckily, these coaches get that extra week after Christmas to kind of lessen the blow a bit, so that the owners don't have to feel as bad about firing them the week after Christmas like they usually do. But I don't think that we will see a large amount of head coaches being replaced this offseason. But I do believe that with these three in particular already in the hot seat, if any one of them lose this week, which there's a pretty good chance they all could lose this week, based on the way they're playing and the way the teams they're facing are playing, to hear those rumbles, and they may as well go ahead and pack up their office and start applying for college jobs.
I don't think Matt Nagy could get a job coaching a junior college football team.
Yeah.
By the way, I almost feel bad. I heard, though, that like when he was going to his kids' high school games that his kid was playing in, that the crowd was chanting, "Fire Nagy." You knew that, right?
Wow, that's horrible.
Yeah. That's horrible. I love it.
I know you love it, Packers fan, but I wouldn't do that like because his kid is there, though. Like, that's
horrible. Yeah. Yeah, that's hitting below the belt, man. Now, when I heard that,
If you're with a group of buddies and you see Nagy shopping for some cereal or something at the grocery store and you guys want to chant it from two aisles over just to mess with them,
I'm throwing a box of Cheerios at him.
You are a far more horrible person than I gave you credit for, Clark.
I guess I'd probably go talk to him and see if he's as big as a doofus in real life at the grocery store as he is on a football field. So
that's true. I tell you what, though, dude, you should be happy that he's coaching your divisional rivals. Like, I was thrilled to death that they weren't firing Urban like they obviously should have in Jacksonville as a Colts fan. I was hoping that this would drag on for another couple decades. But, I mean, every single week it was something that he should have been fired for, and it took him all the way to, what, week 15? Like, I mean, all right, I'll take it, but geez.
Yeah, yeah. I just I don't know. It's so easy to make fun of the guy. I mean, I'm not running out of things to say about him, but.
Him and Crazy Eyes, right?
Dude, that guy.
Crazy Eyes, Adam Gase.
Oh, man. Anyways. That's what we are saying next week. Yeah, I think you're right, though. Those guys are definitely – they're in the hot seat. I don't know what – I don't know if it's necessarily Joe Judge's fault. That team's a mess. And
yeah, I don't think it's necessarily his fault either. I think he might be the one that gets a pass. But at the same time, man, the fans hate him. Like the fans absolutely hate him. Like, I posted something on Twitter about how much I hate Frank Reich right now, and I kind of wish we would get an actual decent good coach. And the first response was, I know you do, but the first response was somebody had posted, I'll trade you Joe Judge. And I was like, okay, I guess it could be worse.
Yeah. Speaking of, the Twitter with the guy yelling at the Bears game last night after they threw that challenge flag, it's like, after review, we suck.
About further review. You suck, or we suck.
I laugh.
I wonder if that was a player.
It sounds like somebody they were sitting in the right spot by a microphone, but
right.
God, that was funny. Sorry, Chicago. Oh, man. All right. That's all we got. check out all of our shows on the YouTube channel. If you would hit that subscribe button, so you know we're going live like 6 days a week. You know, tomorrow night we got Dollars and Deuces with myself and Rich. Before that, Joe knows about, I think he goes around about 7:30 my time, 8:30 right coast time. We're on at like between 10 and 10:30, so 11, 11:30 East Coast. Thursday night, Dash DFS before the games kick off. Saturday night, Dynasty, Down Under Dynasty with our Australian pals. And Sunday morning, we have the Blitz. Also, we have, is it still called Joe Knows Sunday morning, right?
Yep.
Cup of Joe Sunday morning.
Yeah,
sorry.
Sunday Cup of Joe.
Before kind of reviewing he can review all the bowl games, I guess. I forgot we've been bowl gaming it right now. So, and the Blitz is like a little call-in show. Justin, Rich was on it last week with Alex and Mike. Check it out. You know, 10:30, you guys go on?
Yes. Yeah, we go on at 10:30, usually end, wrap it up by 12:30 or until all the questions are done, whichever comes first. But most weeks we usually go about an hour and a half. And we had our absolute biggest turnout this past week too. We're really cranking it out, man. There's a lot of great advice on there, and most of it coming from Mike and Alex. But I do my best to keep up.
Hey, now don't sell yourself short. By the way, I was 4-1 last week because the Rams won 10-20.
There you go.
5-0 the week before, 4-1 last week. Hey, that's we're winning money. So that was it for, I think, our schedule. Check us out on patreon.com/toyotatitles. Talked about earlier in the show, but we would love to have you on board with us. $3 a month is very cheap. I waste a lot more money on junk at the gas station every day at work. So
Right. Check
it out. Don't forget to throw us a review on Apple or iTunes. We'd appreciate that. Let us know what you think. DM us, the show, any of us, except we're always up for constructive criticism. Or just, you know, tell me how much you hate listening to me talk. That's fine. Let me know. You know, I'll try not to talk next time. So with that being said, Merry Christmas. Thank you all for tuning in. I hope everybody has a great holiday. Like I said, thanks for everything. It's been fun. Yeah. Check out the draft episode.
Yep. The holiday draft episode. Make sure you check that out. I'm going to post it or put it up right here at the end of the video somewhere. And Merry Christmas, Title Tribe.
That's right. Keep staying positive and testing negative.